You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday edition. You know what that means? Our guest, Nick Winkler, today. Another Winky Wednesday. Nick will be joining us in 1 second. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me, co-host Eric Crocker, at Eric_Crocker. We're going to dive into the mailbag. Nick has apparently a question for us. You can find him on Twitter at Bay Area Wink, and I know a lot of you guys tag him as well. If you specifically want to be involved in the Winky Wednesday episodes, you can tag Nick too, just so we know who you're talking to with your different questions here. Actually, let's just bring Nick on because he said something just now to me that didn't make sense, and we'll see, Croc, if it makes sense to you. We're talking about aliens invading and football players.
Nicholas Winkler, DeWink down.
Wow.
DeWink is on fire.
Nicholas.
What are we talking about here?
801.
801. Actual retail price. Oh, 810.
Nicholas. I don't buy it.
All right, so there's all the wink sound effects. We got them in. I'm just fired up for this question that you just dropped on me that I still cannot comprehend yet. Wink, what are we talking about here with aliens invading the planet? This is a good football question here. I'm fired up for this episode already.
Yeah, I mean, it mentions George Kittle, so it gets thrown in my timeline. Okay. And it's from Ian Hartitz, and he says, aliens invade Earth, and we got to win a football game. So it's, you know, Space Jam, you know, obviously kind of playing off of that. Dudes play both ways. Current injuries apply, roster size is 11. Then he lists his guys, and obviously George Kittle's on there. And he's the only 49er that made the team. Patrick Mahomes, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, like, you know, the big, strong guys. So I was just going to ask you guys if there's any, you know, former 49er or current 49ers that you'd want on there. I mean, obviously for me, you know where I'm going with this.
We're doing all time, or are we doing just current
players?
Just
talk about current, because this list is, I mean, we could do both. You know, we could do whatever we want. There's aliens invading, you know. I think that that starts happening, we can mess with the timeline.
So you got to play both ways. You need a quarterback that is not going to embarrass you defensively. So you need an athlete there. So what are we talking about? I mean, Trey Lance, young man, could run around, play a little strong safety for you as well or something like that.
Lamar Jackson
He was offered a Division I scholarship to Minnesota to play safety.
That's right. Go. Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson had a ton of offers to play other positions as well. People are even talking about him in the NFL as a wide receiver, obviously. So, actually, I just saw an Instagram clip, I think, of Lamar Jackson tearing up some young dudes, maybe like high school kids, I'm not sure, and he was playing DB and wide receiver against them, and they're like, dude, Lamar Jackson's a freak. So Lamar Jackson would probably be on that roster, but Trey Lance would be a candidate. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, like I said, I'd go with Juszczyk because there's a guy that's probably, you know, play middle linebacker for you as well.
Yeah, that's good. Little fullback, little middle linebacker. But Croc, you know as well as I do that guys on defense play defense for a reason. So I don't know if you want those guys on offense trying to catch the football, you know. So I think mostly offensive players who play defense, in my opinion.
See, I take offense to that. I had 11 interceptions in 1 year in 2014. So I don't think that pertains to me. I have pretty good hands.
And I know you have good hands in the softball field, too. So if, like, you had to play other sports, then Croc's going to be out there. He's going to be playing hoops. He's going to be playing softball, outfield, infield, leadoff hitter, Kenny Lofton style, DB, wide receiver, I assume, Croc, or maybe running back. I've seen you try to air it out on Instagram and on Twitter with a couple videos. I don't know if quarterback's your position, but maybe
wide receiver. Well, hold on. You didn't see my one when I was rolling out left and I threw it back right? I did
see that. You're throwing to your son, I think, in that one where you're doing the pro day throw, right?
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, not bad.
Then I was actually at University. I was just at University of Minnesota. I threw one about 50 yards in the air, you know, on the dime. Nothing, you know, just right over the outside shoulder of the receiver, away from the cornerback. No big deal.
It's amazing that there's no video of that throw.
Oh, no, the video's out there.
Oh,
it's
it?
On Twitter.
Okay.
Post it. Oh, or didn't happen.
There you go. Well, we've got our shutdown corner and our quarterback in Eric Crocker, so that's taken care of. Current 49ers, though. So I'm looking at
George Kittle's perfect.
I mean, Kittle absolutely's got the mentality. Guys like Armstead.
Kinlaw,
Armstead. Those dudes could play offensive or defensive line. I mean, Armstead's got enough length that he could mm-hmm. be a good offensive tackle, I'm sure. Trent Williams, you put him on the defensive line as well, right?
Throw some guys around.
Let's see.
What about Debo? Get him in there as like the slot corner.
Yeah, I like the physicality there too.
He could
play safety maybe.
Ayuk was recruited to play. Defensive back.
He played
Alabama.
DB. Yeah, also Ayuk for sure. He played corner in junior college, right?
I think he was doing like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and recruited Alabama as a DB. So yeah, there's one of your corners there. Then you probably have to have a couple of legit defensive backs to play offense too. So what defensive players would play offense and handle the ball on the 49ers?
I mean, Jimmy Ward's jumped around that defense a lot. Who says he can't jump over on offense and do something?
But he doesn't catch the ball.
No, you make it like a Debo kind of thing where it's just a lot of like, you know, underpasses and, you know, within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
So Jimmy Ward's lack of interceptions isn't because he's got bad hands. He just doesn't get his hands on the ball. So I assume he can catch it once it hits his hands.
I hope so.
Verrett.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's athletic.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Don't worry about the injuries. You know, you got to talk about injuries account.
Here you go. Okay, how about this? Would you rather have Fred Warner at linebacker and fullback or Juszczyk at linebacker and fullback?
Oh, yeah. That's an easy choice. You want Warner.
Fred Warner makes the team and Juice doesn't.
Yeah, I think you're right. We don't know his tackling skills. Come on, let's not give up on Juice just yet, huh?
I bet he's good.
Yeah, he probably went both ways as well in high school, probably in college a little bit.
Bosa? I mean, you just go, like, what do you run, like a two tight end? Because you got to have Bosa on the team, right?
Yeah.
So you just run two tights? Does he play tight end, or do you try to put him at center or something?
Yeah, or a guard. Yeah, he's just in there pulling. Yeah, there you go.
I could see that.
He's not overly athletic, though. And he's not.
I mean, for an offensive lineman, he would be.
Right.
Well, yeah, but if you had to choose between Eric Armstead or Nick Bosa, who would you choose?
I'd put Armstead at tackle, playing both ways. I'd put Bosa at center, playing both ways. Then I'd get the other tackle would be Williams.
Kinlaw.
Oh, and Kinlaw play guard and defensive tackle. And the other defensive tackle would be Williams, who play offensive tackle. And then he played DT next to Kinlaw. So you got some beef there. So then you got all four defensive linemen, and you still need one more offensive lineman. See, that's what's tough, to have five offensive linemen and still field a defense that's not super slow.
Right. Yeah, but I think we'll be all right against these aliens.
I like this. So we've got, we got to be serious about this. We got Trey Lance, quarterback, strong safety. Okay.
All right.
We've got.
Who's the running back?
I almost think you have to, play Debo at running back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need him to play free safety or slot corner or something like that. Or even a hybrid linebacker position or something like that. But just because I don't know what running back you'd want on the field to play defense, and you need some guys that can cover out there on the defensive side of the ball, especially if you have so much beef up front, you need some speed on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have someone like Kittle playing linebacker, Warner playing linebacker.
Right?
Was that?
More like outside linebacker, I think, for Kittle, right?
Yeah, Kittle be like strong side backer.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be covering himself, essentially.
Right.
Warner's middle linebacker, fullback.
You've Bosa got on the outside edge.
Bosa's edge and center is where I'm putting him on offense, I think.
Okay.
Then Kinlaw at guard. Williams, offensive tackle. Armstead, offensive tackle. So there's your four defensive linemen, but you still need another guard.
Mm-hmm. So there's Juszczyk. No, because he's your fullback.
Juice could play guard, I guess. You'd be small up front on offense.
Right.
But,
right.
Hmm. Or you just play Kittle at tackle.
Right. Guy can block.
And call tackle
sure.
eligible all day long. That would really screw with him.
Yeah, that's arena style. Arena football style.
There you go.
Tackle is eligible to catch the ball.
And then we bring in Kroc to bring it home as backup quarterback and shut down corner.
I like it.
And Ayuk on the opposite side.
All right, how about this? Throughout the entire NFL, though, who's the best two-way guy? So not counting Lamar Jackson.
Who'd be your first pick?
I'm wondering if maybe someone like DK Metcalf. He would hit you.
He's a little tight.
Too tight to cover on defense?
I can't have that tightness on defense.
Who's got the right mentality?
Dude, it's Aaron Donald all day.
Oh, well, Donald.
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, there you go.
Jalen Ramsey, yeah. He's worked in on offense a couple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he in Jacksonville? Thought he did.
I think so.
Jalen Ramsey's a good one.
Patrick Peterson got worked in on offense a little bit.
I remember that.
Honey Badger is probably someone. Honey Badger is someone I'm sure that could play both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are good ones. Those are really good ones. All right, I like it. Good question. Good question there, Wink. And who was it? Ian, you said?
Yeah, Ian.
All right, shout out to Ian. This is a fun one. And do we get to scout the aliens? What are we talking about? What kind of skill set do they got here? Are they big and strong? Are they just goofy like the Space Jam where they got one guy who's super huge and dumb and then one guy who's quick? Is that what we're talking about? We got like a little bit of everything?
I mean, you know, if you want to recall your Space Jam knowledge, they actually went and took the skills of professional basketball players.
They did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so they got Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley. Yeah, so they went and got, and then they also got their physicality.
That's right. Sean Bradley.
I just watched it recently with the kids.
Yeah, I remember that now. Okay. Good knowledge. That's a good callback there, Space Jam, the football version. That'd be fun. All right, let's get to some more of your questions coming up on this Winky Wednesday edition. Already off to a great start. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, full swing. It's going to be going all summer long. Baseball just about every single day. You can track all that at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA action. There's Triple Crown horse racing. There is golf. There is reality TV, table games, poker, anything you want to get in on. You can find that action at BetOnline.com. AG. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop, mobile device, desktop computer, whatever you got. A 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to betonline.ag today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got high production values here on the Winky Wednesday this week. We got a lot of sounders going already. I feel like leaving Croc out.
Eric Crocker, always around the football at that time, made a great catch.
See, even that, the only sounder I have is talking about Crocker catching the ball. You know he's got good hands.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, that was pick number 10 of the year.
How about this one? I've seen this name a few times, and you guys tell me what you think about it. Larry Fitzgerald. This is from I'd be the good word on Twitter. He says, if nobody steps up at wide receiver 3 in camp, would a veteran like Larry Fitzgerald make sense? He has some solid productivity last year despite his age. Would his savvy and smarts allow him to absorb the playbook and operate effectively within this offense pretty quick? And look, you're looking for your big slot guy, and that's what Larry Fitzgerald became in his career too. So it makes some sense, but is he going to retire? It doesn't sound like he's retired officially yet, even though that's the way I thought his offseason was going. Do they have money? Larry Fitzgerald's, you know, not just going to come play for free either. I don't know. What do you guys think? Larry Fitzgerald? I'm not against the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure the 49ers would like to see how some of these younger guys work out first and, you know, come or after preseason. If it's still looking like not liking what I'm seeing from even a veteran like Sanu, and then the other guys, Richie James, you know, Juwan Jennings, and Jalen Hurd just, you know, is a dud. Then you go get the old Wiley veteran who you know exactly what you're getting. He's going to be the ultimate pro, catch a lot of passes. He's played well out of the slot. So I think that's a good fit there.
Yeah, I think you got to hope that Fitzgerald's in that mode right now where he wants a spot where he's going to play a lot. And I think that if, you know, the 49ers were like, hey, we're building this thing. You saw what we did 2 years ago. You want to win a championship? I think you could help us do that. Come be our number 3. And like you said, I think first they're going to look at the young guys. And because they're not only young, they're cheap at this point. So you got to find a way to keep those cheap salaries, too, if you're going to lock up, you know, Fred Warner for a long time. Which, you know, hopefully they do that soon.
I'm trying to think. There was no Shanahan crossover with Larry Fitzgerald anywhere.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
anywhere being Arizona, where Larry Fitzgerald has played forever. So, yeah, I don't know. It seems like it wouldn't happen for whatever reason, but I'm actually, the more I think about it, not super against that idea. How much is it going to cost is the big question
right there.
And is he going to play a third down role to young receivers? But, I mean, it seemed like he'd be a really nice fit as sort of a mentor to Debo and Ayuk. But, yeah, it'd be like end of training camp, kind of like instead of trading draft picks for Emmanuel Sanders. It's like, okay, look, he played that role, right? It's like, okay, we're going to need something here, so let's go get Larry. We got our big slot guy. He's better than Sanu, I'm sure, still to this day. Maybe they're hoping that they get Hurd or they get Jennings in there to be that role. But, yeah, something to think about on the back burner. If he's ready to play, though, I'd think that someone would sign him before the end of camp.
Yeah, especially in some sort of incentive-laden deal.
Do you guys follow soccer, or as they call it, football? Hashtag Euro 2020. Phil says, let's take a minute to focus on the England national team in Euro 2020. I don't even know for sure what that sentence means. Can you guys help me out with that one?
Yeah, I watched pretty much every game of the Euro 2020.
Did you? I didn't know you were in that. Okay.
Yeah, I just love sports, you know? So a lot of times it was just on in the middle of the day. I was like, oh, I could put some sort of sporting event on right now. Great. Yeah, the England, brutal loss there to Italy in the championship. And yeah, a lot of bad stuff that followed as well. I'm sure a lot of people listening know what I'm talking about with racism and stuff like that. So my heart goes out to those players. Obviously, that was bad luck for them. But it was a great final. Went down to penalty kicks, which is very dramatic. I know a lot of true football fans don't really like the penalty kicks at the end of a match. But someone like me, there's so much drama. Like as they slowly walk up to the line and like place the ball perfectly, and the goalie's getting ready, and the commentator building up. That's pretty cool way to end a sporting event.
Croc,
I didn't get to watch any. Yeah, I didn't catch any. I was traveling and on my way to Minnesota and all that, and kind of focusing on that. But I saw it up and down my timeline. A lot of people discussing it, and I saw the excitement on my Twitter account. I definitely noticed when the penalty kicks were happening. So I wish I would have caught that, because it seemed like something very exciting.
It was.
I saw zero of it. I don't have cable TV anymore, so I don't like accidentally roll upon those kind of things anymore. I actually watched less baseball than I ever have in my life the last two seasons. Well, last year was weird anyway because of the pandemic, but even now I watch way less baseball, and that was my number one sport always. And so it's really weird for me. I play softball again because the leagues just started up, and I've got two teams now playing twice a week, and then watch fewer baseball games than slow pitch softball games now. So that's an odd life that I'm living these days. Still watching a lot of football and grinding that tape when I can in the off season even. But Wink, that reminds me, you said how you love sports. Do you still do that one fantasy league that incorporates like all the sports?
Yeah, I do. We actually this year, yeah, it's 10 sports every year. They usually, you know, they always do football, baseball, basketball, hockey, you know, the standards, golf, tennis, and every year they switch a couple up. So this year they threw in women's softball, the World Series, and men's
college World Series
as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't know anything about women's softball. Let me do some research. So it's cool because it really, if you like checking scorecards, or if you like checking, you know, the score box or anything like that, just constantly following things, that is definitely a really cool way to do it. I do it with a couple of buddies and we've never won anything, but this year we're actually sitting in 40th place right now. There's over 400 teams or something. And we lead in the tennis bracket because I got this buddy who's like a tennis expert, like he knows his stuff. Yeah, and you get awards for each bracket that you win as well, so not just overall. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Croc, what's your best sport? If you had to force young Crocky into a sport that wasn't like football or baseball or basketball, like one of the American sports, is there like a fringe sport that you'd be like amazing at, like tennis or bowling or
tennis,
something like that? Oh, tennis. Okay,
tennis. Yeah. Well, you know, the weird thing is in where I grew up in the hood and whatnot, somehow we ended up with tennis rackets. I can't tell you how, but when tennis was on TV, we mimicked that. Just like football. Like if football was on TV, at halftime, we go out there and we're just running around. We're running around.
Exactly.
And then, oh, halftime's over. Let's go back in, right, and watch the rest of the game. Tennis, if tennis was on TV, somehow, some way, we got tennis rackets and we had tennis balls, and we go to the park. I mean, and we would really play, and we would keep score. Just like they kept score, you know, 0, 15, 40, love, all that stuff. I mean, we had a really good time, and I was pretty good at it. A lot of it was, you know, just pure athleticism, but my serve isn't ideal, at least from what I remember. I would just kind of throw it up and hit it to a spot. And once it's in play, I'm good. Let's go. I'm ready to ride.
I had a tough time with – I had good leverage even for my serve, but I had a tough time just getting that serve in where I thought I should be. And then I took a tennis lesson one time, like 10 years ago, just because I wanted to play against my friends. I was like, I'm going to dominate my friend. I'm going to go get a tennis lesson. And there's like some super simple things that I wasn't doing. I was like, oh, this sport's easy. I should have been doing this a long time ago.
I feel like Peacock, with your height, like the angle, the geometry of it, seems like you'd be able to get that served in every time.
It was just bad technique, man.
Okay. All right.
Bad technique.
Yeah, my daughter, actually, I just put her in a tennis camp last week.
Boom. There you go. Just
an excuse to run around, you know, and let off some energy. But yeah, she loved it.
Yeah. I've thought about putting my daughter in tennis because that's like the one sport for females where you can actually make some legit money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the other sports like softball, I don't even know what happens after, you know, basketball, women's basketball, you got to go overseas. Yep. But tennis, they are making some money and it's all up to you. If you're good, you'll make money.
Tennis and golf, because they can practice by themselves too. They don't need to have a team around them.
Dude, and tennis is great. It's like, go find a wall and just go hit a ball off it.
Exactly. Hit it back and forth all day.
Do you guys think it's strange?
My wife is 5'9", so I'd assume my daughter should get some pretty good height.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Height and athleticism. Good looks, the entire package, I'm sure, that comes with the Crocker family. Those Crocker jeans.
Kind of unfortunate. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. My daughter, Pickle, is extremely pretty, but
oh man,
I'm kind of scared of it.
I'm with you, Croc. Yeah, my daughter's very pretty too, and she's like 8 right now, and the boys are just starting to notice her, and I'm just like,
Is she 8 already?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh my God. Happens fast.
That is insane. Isn't it weird that they call the college baseball and college softball the College World Series? It's weird enough that the major leagues call it the World Series because it's American in sport. But college is like ridiculous. It literally can't possibly be the world because it's these colleges in America.
So like the Continental Series?
It's insane.
National Series?
National
Sounds weird.
The Natty.
It's called the championship.
All right. We got some more questions here. Let's finish up strong on this Winky Wednesday edition. Raheem Mostert, how much is he going to touch the ball next? With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? You can't see what he's looking at. He's looking at this screen, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Then you got to come back and wait for the part to even get there. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket with an endless supply of everything you need for your vehicle. I'm always blown away at how much they have in stock at rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are always the same for everybody and are always reliably low. Just let them know that Locked On sent you. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. You know what I've learned about Built Bars? And you hear me say it probably all the time on this podcast. There's no bad time for a Built Bar. One of the best times is a road trip. Have one in your little bag. Have one in your glove box, whatever. It's a perfect snack. You have a long commute. Maybe you skip breakfast. Maybe you skip lunch. You need a snack and you can feel good about it and it tastes great. High in protein, low in sugar. That is the snack you want to grab. And you can grab a box of Built Bars from Built.com using promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. 9 original flavors like cherry, Barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter is my favorite, cookies and cream's really good, orange, strawberry, German chocolate, salted caramel, coconut, and they're always filtering in specialty flavors. So go to Built.com and find out what kind of new flavors they've got for you. You can buy a box of one flavor or do a mix and match. Even great for keto diets if you're trying to maintain, lose weight, only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. So amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. You can't go wrong with a Built Bar. If you go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next box of Built Bars, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. All right, this one from Cody. How many touches does Mostert average this year? Let's put it in some context here. I got Raheem Mostert's stats. So last year, he had 16 catches. Year before, 14 catches. So not hugely involved in the passing game, but a lot of big plays when he did touch the ball. And then he carried the ball 137 times in 2019, 104 times last year. Obviously played only 8 games, but started those 8 games. Even though he was the leading rusher in 2019, remember it was Tevin Coleman that got all the quote-unquote starts. Raheem Mostert had 0 starts in his career until 2020, which is kind of wild how much he's carried the ball the last few years for the 49ers. But so if we're looking at per game averages, the last 2 years, 29 and 2020, let's see, he's had like a catch per game essentially, or no, a catch and a half per game, and 10 carries.
I mean, it's hard to judge those numbers, right? They're both incomplete seasons. In 2019, he was on the practice squad. In 2020, you know, he injured, missed half the year. So if he stays healthy, I mean, obviously, I think you double those numbers, right? I think he gets over 200 touches, and, you know, maybe you give him 25 catches out of the backfield.
But then they drafted 2 running backs. How much does Sermon eat into that load? I would assume that it's still going to be a pretty big committee backfield, I think, and Raheem Mostert might lead it, but it might be really 50-50 with he and Sermon, and then with some other guys mixing in. So maybe more the same, like 150 and 20 catches, maybe. So that's not huge production and huge share, but he makes such a big impact in so few touches too, with all the big plays he makes. So it feels like he touches the ball more than he does.
Do you draft a 49ers running back in fantasy? You know, I'm just getting back into fantasy now, and I know I'm not taking them in PPR. That's for sure. Not with 1.5 catches per game. Right. But just with the way the 49ers have gone with the running back committee, that's a tough one, right?
Late. You take them real late if you're going to take them at all.
Yeah. I mean, whoever is a Shanahan back has value. And so I've found what you do with the Shanahan backs is you wait till the first one's drafted, then you draft a second or third back, because that's the one that's going to give you value if they do become the main guy. So I think everybody in the fantasy world is tripping over themselves right now because, a Shanahan running back, be drafted in the third round. Trey Sermon's going to own the backfield day one, be the bell cow guy. I don't think it's going to be that way. But I think right now, Mostert might actually be the bargain, because I think Trey Sermon's actually going ahead of Mostert right now.
They're going like back to back. I've done a couple of mocks. Okay. And yeah, you get a guy like Jeff Wilson super late and then just stash him right on the IR. Guy will be back late in the season. That's there's your bargain.
Yeah. Or Elijah Mitchell. Yeah. Stash him.
Yep.
That's probably the smart way to do it. Just wait. See who
Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson come in and score like 8 2-yard touchdowns.
Dude, I won a couple leagues, a couple of weeks with Jeff Wilson. Just pick him up off the waiver wire. You know he's going to start that week. Yep. You know he's going to get a touchdown or two.
Well, staying with running backs, who's the odd man out? This is from Ferocious Gentleman, a frequent tweeter into the show. Who's the odd man out in the running back room, in y'all's opinion? It's Hasty, right?
I think so.
Hasty to the practice squad. Maybe Gallman, because he's doesn't have youth on his side, even though he's in his 20s. It's weird to say someone's old when they're in their 20s, but he's not as young as the two rookies they drafted this year. So if Hasty beats out anybody, it's probably going to be beating out Gallman.
It's going to be a special teams thing, right? It's going to be like, which one of them's better, you know, in the gunner position, something like that.
Well, I mean, and it also comes down to how many running backs the 49ers are going to keep.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think ideally they want to keep 3 and 4 if you count Juszczyk. So if they're going to go 3, you'd assume it's probably going to be Mostert and the 2 draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a way that Gallman can kind of sneak in. And we've seen the 49ers with draft picks kind of sneak a guy onto the IR list. So we'll see that whole thing plays out. But I think ideally they want to keep 3 guys.
And
look, we're 2 weeks away from camp. We're 2 months away from the start of the football season. What are the odds that all those running backs are going to not get hurt before that, right? So at some point, maybe nobody's the odd man out, because all it takes is one more guy to get hurt, and they pretty much all have a roster spot.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, this is courtesy of Cam Inman, who covers the 49ers. So running backs, counting fullback the last 4 years. So in the Shanahan era, they kept 4 running backs, 5, 4, and 5. So it was either 3 or 4 tailbacks and Juszczyk. Wait, what year did Juice show up? He wasn't there in 2017, right?
Yeah, he was there the whole time.
He was the first offseason? Okay, so mm-hmm. yeah. So Juszczyk was among that group, and then either three or four tailbacks. Last year they did take four with Juice, so five total running backs. They'll probably be five this year.
Yeah, if anything, you want to try to keep Mostert healthy, you know, so I think maybe you do add that extra guy to limit his touches early in the season.
Yeah, and maybe since you have two young guys in Mostert, if they are healthy, maybe they do think, okay, let's take three because we have, or four counting Juszczyk, because we have the reserves in Jeff Wilson, and we know he's going to be available in whatever, week eight. So maybe that'll give them the opportunity to say, you know what, okay, we can cut Gallman. Maybe we can re-sign him after week one or something like that. That way his contract's not guaranteed. Maybe put Hasty on the practice squad, and we know we have some reserves there. So that could be one of the angles. Save a roster spot for somebody like, you know, wide receiver if they want to keep one of those 19 guys that they have.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Hasty also can kind of be insurance being on the practice squad.
Yep. And remember last year, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Croc. Hasty was offered a deal from another team last year after his rookie training camp. And decided to go to the 49ers practice squad instead of going to the 53-man roster of another team. I can't remember what team it was, and I don't know if we really ever found out. But that was interesting. So I wonder if he's pissed now because he's like, man, I was loyal to you, and now you went and drafted two rookies. You're going to try to put me on the practice squad again? Now I'll sign somewhere else. And remembers who's the dude that signed to the 49ers practice squad that was from Tampa a couple years ago? Mick...
I mean, I could see him in my head. He was like number 33, light skin, kind of buff, shorter.
Yeah, shorter, stocky running back. And he was like mad at Arians or something. Or no,
yeah, he didn't like the way that the Buccaneers got. And then they got upset, right? I mean, this all played out on McNichols.
It was on Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, McNichols, McNichols.
Jeremy McNichols, that's who it was. Yeah, and so he decided to sign for the 49ers practice squad instead of the Tampa Bay practice squad when he didn't make it as a rookie. We answered a lot of questions. I want to finish with this one from Carson. That's not really a question, but I think we can all agree with it. He said, I can't think of a single question that you guys or one of the other pods hasn't gone over at least 10 times since the draft, and yet I still listen to almost every pod every day. Please get here. Actual games soon. So appreciate the kind words there, Carson. And yes, we're going to have some actual football sometime soon. It goes pretty quick. And look, 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks out from training camp, so I'm pumped.
Love it.
Wow. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Wink, for joining the podcast once again.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for all your questions. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
See you.